I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World. We've been here so many times before. A mass shooting, lots of shock and outrage, and a president that vows to do something, as Donald Trump pledged today.
Yesterday, I met with survivors of Parkland shooting. The Parkland shooting is just horrible. So bad for so many people and so bad for our country. I listened to their heartbreaking stories, asked them for their ideas, and pledged to them that we will take action, unlike for many years where people sitting in my position did not take action. They didn't take proper action. They took no action at all. We're going to take action.
The thing is, usually by this point, one full week after a mass shooting in America, the news cycle moves on and the dust settles. Except we haven't moved on yet. The post-shooting activism is different this time. Bereaved students are more vocal and visible than even their parents and politicians. And our gun debate is getting a lot of attention, not just in the U.S., but overseas as well. Foreign journalists are profiling the student activists. The world is watching us. Leila Makor is a journalist with Agence France-Presse and based in Miami. She's been covering the U.S. for 5 years, and she's reported on 10 mass shootings. Normally, Makor says her readers overseas get tired of hearing the same old stories about guns in America over and over.
Now there is a lot more interest because the Parkland kids had achieved something that I haven't seen before, which is they managed to make the news cycle longer.
Another U.S.-based foreign correspondent covering the story is Estelita Carazzai. She's Washington correspondent for the Brazilian daily Folha de São Paulo. Estelita, we here in the U.S. hear about gun violence in Brazil, mostly in favelas in Rio. Movies like City of God push that culture. But this is quite different. What do Brazilians make of the conversations that are happening about guns in the U.S. right now?
Hi, Marco. Well, for us, it's a completely different culture, actually. We do have gun violence in Rio and other favelas around the country. But speaking as a middle-class Brazilian, I would say that I don't know anyone who has a gun, you know, in Brazil. So since 2003, there was a disarmament law that was voted by the Congress. And since then, it's really complicated to get an arm, a weapon in Brazil. So it's not something we're used to, having guns at home and or buying it. So, you know, I think it amazes us as a Brazilian speaking how easily you get a weapon here in the U.S. This has been going on for so long. You know, I remember I was like 13 when Columbine happened, and I was a student, a high school student, and I was so shocked. We had a lot of conversations about it. And today I'm an adult, a correspondent here, and we're still, you know, seeing the same thing. So it's pretty different from what we see in Brazil. We do have gun violence in Brazil, but it's much more related to poverty and difficulties for employment and urban criminality than the fact that people have access to guns. You know what I mean?
Yeah. When there is a mass shooting in the U.S., do your editors in Sao Paulo want stories every time? And after a while, I mean, how do you kind of start to kind of talk about this?
Yeah, unfortunately, it depends on how many victims there are because they have become so common. So it's not always that they want me to get involved.
When you report to the readers of Folha de São Paulo that there are suggestions coming from the NRA and Donald Trump that teachers need to be armed themselves, I mean, do you expect your readers in Brazil will have some odd reactions to that news?
Yeah, I shared a story actually about this on my social media profile, and the reaction from my friends and my family is always the same. It's, oh my God, why are they thinking about it? I mean, isn't this enough? All these mass shootings year after year, and they're still thinking about giving guns to people, you know? I think that's the main reaction, although there's also in Brazil a great community that is in favor of more flexible gun laws. But I would say, you know, for most of the population, it's shocking to hear about teachers being armed.
How have you been reporting on the youth activism here since the shooting last week?
I've been to some protests here in D.C. Organized by young students. I talked to some of them, and I'm planning to visit some schools to talk to other students. So I've reached some Brazilian students actually that studied in Parkland and the school that where the shooting happened, because, you know, Florida has a huge Brazilian community of immigrants. And unfortunately, a lot of Brazilian students were there and, you know, witnessed the massacre. So they are too very impressed about what happened. And
you've
given,
been speaking,
you know,
with those students?
Yeah, yeah, with Brazilian students that were there. I spoke to 3 or 4 students. Apparently, there were approximately 50 Brazilian students in Parkland. So a lot of them witnessed what happened, and they're all also very involved in the protests, in the demonstrations. And it's sad because many of those Brazilian families, they come to the U.S. thinking, okay, you know, at least here I'm going to have opportunity. There's less inequality, so it's safer. You know, people feel safer here. So it's really sad for them too.
Where do you see this story, the post-Parkland shooting story going now? Are the eyes of the world going to be on these teenagers for a while?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I've been looking forward to the March for Our Lives in D.C., and we're definitely going to cover it. I know Brazilians are following the issue. So, yeah, definitely we're going to keep our eyes on it.
Estelita Carrozzai reports out of Washington for the Brazilian daily Folha de São Paulo. Thanks very much for your time, Estelita.
Thank you, Marco.